Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday, November 9th. I hope you've had a wonderful week. This week was really special for us at our church. On Friday, we had a funeral for Eve Anderson. She was our oldest member. She died at 102. She had a wonderful life. She had served and led our choir for so many years and our kids way back in the day. She had a wonderful family all around her, some really good friends. She lived and loved the Lord, and we celebrated her life and even just thinking about her now in heaven with Jesus and her family that went before her. It was a good day together. That was on Friday. We have a couple things coming up that we want to let you know about. One are these. Every year we do the Christmas shoeboxes at the church. You can pick up a box here at the back of the church, and then also a label that says a boy or a girl and what age. And then you go to the store and you buy all these gifts, and there's some recommendations of the things you can buy. And you fill this box full of the gifts, and you bring it back to church by November 23rd. And then we take them into Samaritan's Purse, we mail them off, and they get to a kid around the world for Christmas this year. And so it's a neat thing to do, especially if you've got kids. You can go to the store with them and help fill this out, get them involved in it, about giving to someone else in need, and letting them know just how much to be thankful for and how much it's our job to love even our neighbors way across the other side of the world. And so something to consider doing. And then also next Sunday, November 16th at 6 p.m., we're going to have our Soup Supper Quilt Auction. Our wonderful ladies who meet on Monday for making quilts, they make them throughout the year. All the proceeds go to missions and charities around. These are amazing quilts that they make. And we auction them off on next Sunday night, the 16th. And there's a soup supper. It's a fun evening being together. Come on out if you have time, and maybe take home a nice, beautiful blanket or something. And the money all goes to a really good cause. All right, if you have your Bibles there, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. We are on the Names of God series that we have been doing here since the beginning of the school season, the fall year here, and we have 2 weeks left. Today and next Sunday is all we've got left. We're going to look at the final two names in our series, and they're special ones. They are Emmanuel and then Jesus. Today we're going to look at the name Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. And then next Sunday we will end our series of the names of God with the name that is most precious to all of us Christians, that name given to the Son of God who came to save us from our sins. His name is Jesus. And that name people don't always realize, but in Hebrew it was Yeshua, and we pronounce it Jesus, but it is written Yeshua, and it has a meaning. It is Hebrew for the Lord saves. Oh, so Jesus is not just some random name given to him. Again, it is the name of God that he describes what he has come to do for us, to save us. And we're going to look at that next Sunday. But today, we're going to look closer at the name Emmanuel. Love that name. God with us. We often think of that name, Emmanuel, around Christmas time. We even sing Christmas songs with that name in them. It means God with us. And of course, we do this at Christmas, singing this name, because in Christ, God came to be with us in a very deep and personal way. He is a God that is not far away, but a God who is right where you are at today. So if you got your Bibles there in Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to read for us the first 14 verses of that chapter. For this is the first time that we find this name Emmanuel in the Bible. And it happens with the prophet Isaiah when he comes to King Ahaz in a very scary situation. For two nations are on the verge of attacking God's people. And the king is worried. The people are shaken. And Isaiah speaks for the Lord, encouraging them, reminding them that they are not alone in this fight, but that God is with them. Listen to the story. It says this, beginning in verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. But they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to Launderer's Field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I cannot ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. But then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So first, I want to explain a little bit about what's happening in this Old Testament story and how God was with them long ago. And then I will speak about Jesus and how he is the great fulfillment of the prophecy, how the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. That's talking about our Lord Jesus and how in him we will get to know and be with God every day. But first, I want to back up and just talk about this story in Isaiah and all that it means. So the first thing I want us to see here within the chapter is notice in verse 1, there is Ahaz, and he is the king of Judah. Now, Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe that has the city of Jerusalem in it. And what we read here is that there are these two other kings and lands, King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, who was king, catch this, of Israel. Israel. In verse 2, it would call the land of Israel Ephraim, but it is Israel. And so here is the thing. At this time in history, 10 of the tribes of Israel broke away from the other two and allied themselves with foreign nations and went to war against their own people. That is what is being said in this chapter, that Israel was fighting against itself. A civil war had just started. The enemy nation of Aram had convinced half of the land to side with it and not God. But Judah was holding out. It refused. And so in verse 2 it says, the house of David, which is Jerusalem and Judah, they were told that Aram had allied itself with Ephraim, which is the new name of what was once Israel. 10 of the tribes had fallen away and had taken on a new identity. If you like Star Wars, you could think of it like this. They're no longer Anakin Skywalker. They are now Darth Vader. 10 tribes had just turned to the dark side. This is why it says in verse 2 that the heart of King Ahaz and his people were shaken. like the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. They are shaken because they're thinking, how in the world did this just happen? What is going on? Our own brothers now want to kill us. And this mention of how the people were shaken like the wind reminds me of the disciples out at sea. You know that story. When all of a sudden a mighty storm comes up in the night and the wind begins to blow and the boats start rocking and the waves come and water is getting into the boat and the disciples are really afraid that they're going to drown. It also makes me think of the parable that Jesus gave of the house that was built on the sand versus the house built upon the rock, and how when the storms of life hit and beat against the house on the sand shakes and falls, but the house built on the rock will stand. The house built on God. There are times in life when we can all feel shaken, when something happens that we weren't expecting. This is one of those moments for God's people that they didn't see coming. Their own people would turn against God and to begin to fight against them. The nation was being split apart, and it shook them to the core. Have you ever experienced something like this? Something like you never expected to see happen. A person that you trusted that all of a sudden flipped on you, betrayed you, hurt you, or something in your life, and you're coasting along and all is well, and then suddenly you're not. Your world is shaken. It can happen on a grand scale with world events. I tell you, I remember 9/11. It was the first time when I thought, what is going to happen? Are we at war? How did this even happen to us? Carrie and I were in Canada at the time, watching on the news. We had just started ministry up there 1 month earlier, and then these planes crashed into these buildings and in the Pentagon, and we didn't know what was going on. We called the church together that night, and we had a time of prayer. We didn't know what was coming next. Another time I think about was COVID. And at first, when it was all happening, no one knew what was going on or what exactly we were dealing with. Suddenly, people were locked away in their homes and afraid, and schools and stores and restaurants were all shut down like I had never seen or experienced before. And people were worried about their jobs and family across country, and all of us were a little shaken. But it can also happen to us personally. We take a trip to the doctor's office, and next thing you know, you got a sickness, or something happens with your kids, and your world crashes. We all can be shaken. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives, so don't let your hearts become troubled, and don't be afraid. We need to be reminded of these scriptures in the times that our world or life seems to be shaken a bit, that we would know the peace of our Lord and his promises and truth, and that he's got us, that he is with us, and we will not fall. The people in Jerusalem, the house of David, they were shaken, learning that their own people had now become Ephraim and were coming after them. Back in those days, God raised up prophets to speak to kings. Today we've got Christ living inside of us, and we got the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God that speaks and guides and leads us in truth. But back then, God spoke through the prophets. And so Isaiah, he goes to the king, but it is God who is speaking through him. And we read what God says to the king and his people who were all afraid. We read it in verse 4. God says, say to my people, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood and their anger and their plots to ruin you, saying, let us invade Judah and tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves. God says in verse 7, it will not take place. It will not happen. I love that he calls these two enemy nations two smoldering stubs of firewood. What he is saying is, they that burn so bright to fear you will eventually fizzle out. These flames appear as a threat, but these nations are just like a fire in a fire pit that logs only last for a moment and then will go out. And even now they're already beginning to die. And so he says, don't fear them. We can get scared at something at first glance, but God sees the bigger picture, the long term, what's going to last and what's just going to fade. We react in fear to things, and at times our reactions only make them worse, when we really should stay the course. Keep calm, keep trusting in God, keep just doing what he has called us to do, because this is just a smoldering fire. The threat will not prevail. And God tells his people why this fire, these two nations that threaten them, won't succeed. He tells them exactly in verses 8 and 9, and it is a powerful verse. God says this is why they won't succeed, because the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only King Rezin. And he says the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. What is God saying in this sentence? He's saying, follow the threat to its source. Look deeper at what scares you right now. What is behind it? Who is behind it? He says the head of Aram is only this human guy. The head of Ephraim is only this guy's son. But he's saying, with you is the Lord Almighty. For the head of the house of David is not just some loudmouth king who can only make threats, but the head of the house of David is Emmanuel, God with us. And that truth changes everything. The head of Aram is just a guy, the head of Ephraim, just a man, but the head of Judah is the King of all kings, the Lord himself. This reminds me of one of my favorite speeches in the Bible, from King Hezekiah, who in his time was being attacked by Assyria. And the people at that time also began to fear and to crumble and be shaken. But King Hezekiah stood up before his people in 2 Chronicles 32. And he said, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army that is with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And it says the people gained confidence in his word. With us, with, present, is Emmanuel. God was with David to fight Goliath. God was with Moses to deliver the people out of slavery. God was with Joseph as he waited in prison only to be lifted to the palace that he was called to. God was with Elijah in the desert. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. God is with you and me in Jesus Christ. When our world is shaken, be still and know God. Take a moment and follow the fears that you have in your mind and how big they are to where they come from and where they end. Follow the truth of God in your mind to who he is and his promises and his salvation, and realize you've got nothing to fear right now. You belong to him. This is just a smoldering fire, temporary trial. But as Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can stand against us? In our scripture, God says, yes, these nations and kings plot. They threaten, they speak of tearing you apart and dividing your land and all of this. But who is behind them? Just people. Who is behind you? I am, he says. That is why God says to his people, be careful, keep calm, Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. And then God says in verse 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Cool. Man, that one hit home for me this week. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. We must live by faith and not by sight. And we can't see God, but he tells us he is there. So will we believe him? Will we live putting our faith in him that he is with us today, that he will do as he has promised? When those disciples were so scared on the boat, remember, Jesus got up and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And then he calmed the wind and the waves with a word. Are we a people of faith, or just ones who say we are? When our world is shaken, where do we look and to whom? God tells the people here, be careful. That means when your world is suddenly shaken, be careful what you start thinking about, where your mind goes. Be careful not to react too quickly, but prayerfully in wisdom. Don't do something rash in fear, but pause, remember, take a moment to let God's light shine into that situation so that you're seeing it correctly as a believer in Jesus Christ would, one who knows the sovereign almighty God who is always in control. Be careful, he says. He then says, don't be afraid. Don't let your fears and perceived threats shake your peace in Jesus Christ. Don't look more at those waves than you do at Jesus, who has the authority over those waves. And then he says, don't lose heart, which means don't become defeated. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged or overwhelmed. Remember that God is still God at the end of the day. He is still seated on the throne, and you are his always and forever, and his love for you has never failed and it never will. His faithfulness and his mercy is new every morning. So don't lose heart. Stand firm in your faith. Peter spoke about faith in 1 Peter 1 when he said, even though you've had to go through trials, these have come only to strengthen and prove your faith. For even though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you continue to believe in him. And you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If we don't stand in faith, we don't stand at all. These are the moments when we are to remember the name Emmanuel, that God is a God who is with us. The Bible says the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. It is in this context of Isaiah, when our final verse for today is spoken, that famous verse 14, where it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin is going to give birth to a son, and they're going to call him Emmanuel. So this verse not only, was a verse that gave hope to the people of that day going through what they were going through, but it also was a verse that now we can see pointed to a future time when God was going to send his son, Jesus, who would be the hope for all of us. This is the verse that the Gospel of Matthew quotes. In Matthew 1:22, after the angel visits Joseph and tells him it's okay to take home Mary as his wife because the child that is within her is from the Holy Spirit. And the angel says, she'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then Matthew quotes this prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 when it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, that the virgin will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel. Jesus is our Emmanuel. God come down into this world in the flesh. And now still here through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, living within each of us. To go with us every day, everywhere we go, to help us face whatever we face. We now get to face it with him. Just as God was with his people there in the Old Testament stories, now in Christ, we experience God with each of us like that. We get to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him, he comes to live in us, and that's a reality. And we are able to walk with God every day and to get to know him more and more. And whatever we face, now we get to face it with God. He promised those disciples, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And he always keeps his promises. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I'll come in and be with him and him with me." You need to just invite the Lord in by faith. And if you do, he's with you and he comes to stay. Can you think of different moments in your life, maybe some really key ones, where the love and presence of God in Jesus Christ has really helped you through something? Can you think of moments when you felt alone, but then you realized you were not alone? For you began to feel God's peace and his strength and his love for you. I can remember those moments. I have so many of them. Walking with God is the greatest joy of my life. I gave my life to Christ as a child, and I have seen and known him more and more over the years. God has proved himself to be with me so many times. As Philippians 4 says, the Lord is near, and he very much is. Even though I can't see him, he is. You know, it's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can certainly see the effects of it, right? You know, especially this Nebraska wind. You can feel it when you're out in it. You can hear it when it blows, and you can see the trees all around moving because of the wind. So it is with God. I haven't heard the physical sound of his voice, but there are so many times that I read the Bible and the words jump off the page as if they were meant for my ears alone. And I know God has just spoken to me. I have been so scared at times and prayed, and I have felt his peace and his presence come over me. I have seen God do miracles, the effects of God working in people's lives as only God can do. And I know that he is here with us now. I have experienced his power. I have seen the change in my life. I have felt him change my attitudes towards other people. I have felt and seen him grow in my character, or like the wind, knock me down when I needed to be knocked down and humbled. Our God is most definitely real, and in Christ, he really is with us every day. The King is in the room, folks. I'm telling you, he's here. I love the story of an old Christian monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. He lived in France in the 1600s, and he was not a famous monk. He wasn't even a higher-up one. He literally was a dishwasher in the monastery. But he loved the Lord. He sought to experience the truth of God every day in the chaos of his kitchen, in his work, not just in the quiet peace of the sanctuary, but where he lived, in his everyday tasks. Through the noise and distractions and busyness, he wanted to learn how, even there, to know God and experience him who was with him. He welcomed Christ into every area of his life. And near his death, he spoke to one of his friends and said that his kitchen had become as holy to him as the taking of communion. For he had truly seen how in our everyday life and work, God was as present as in the holy sacraments. What if we invited the Lord into every area of our life? What if we began to see him with us at home at night and to talk to him as if he were in the room, which he really is. To know him, not just in our quiet times or this sanctuary, but also in the way that we love our wife and raise our kids and do our work in the world. What would it look like to do everything in life with God? Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is, and set your mind on things above, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Our life now with Christ in God. When we become a Christian, our life apart from God ended, and our life with God truly began. And so Colossians 3 goes on to say, therefore, put to death the deeds of the body that are no longer in line with the life of Christ. Let go of that sin and those habits that are only destroying what God wants to do in you right now. And put on the habits that God's chosen people are to have, like love and compassion, humility, kindness, goodness, and forgiveness. For then you will know him more. And then it says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you. And then it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the truth is that in Christ, we believers are not alone anymore. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means God is with us every day, every moment. And so it seems to me the goal of my life should be to learn how to recognize God's presence and to join him in what he wants to do in my life and in the world, to experience God, not just for 5 minutes every morning, but every minute, to invite him into it and to get to know him and his love every day, every bit more. For God is with me. I end with this example. Last Saturday, Carrie and I had a free day. We didn't have anything to do, and so we decided we would go out and do a little shopping. And I'm a list guy. I make lists, and I can get too focused on checking things off of my list, as if that was what life was all about. But this day, God in his grace whispered in my ear something at the very beginning of the day with Carrie. And it just came as a subtle thought that he put into my mind, and I know he did it. He said, Dan, the goal of this day is not to complete your list. It is to be with your wife. Be together. How we need to remember this. Even in all the ministry duties and things we want to do for God, we got all our lists. But to let God guide us like that in a day, tell us, hey, this is the most important thing of this day. That's being with God, listening for his voice like that and letting him lead it. And then to remember the most important thing of the day is to be with him. And to be with the people around us, knowing and enjoying his presence. And because remember, Jesus said, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Be with him. Invite him into your life and into your work and into your family and into the things you question or struggle with. And be with the people who he's put around you. Have a great day together. Carrie and I did. We did get a few things done. But others we didn't. But we enjoyed the day. We loved each other. We talked and had a coffee and relaxed. Had a good day. The Lord was right. It's what I needed. It's what we needed. And I thought, Lord, help me each day to see you in it, to not miss the important thing, to love you and to love others, that I might do my life with you. To talk with him throughout the day, to be open to his leading, to serve with him, not just for him. And that in every fear that would want to come in and shake the peace of God in my heart, that I would remember that he is there and that he is sovereign and that he loves me and that I am his. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with him and him with me." What a beautiful name it is, Emmanuel, God, come to be with us. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.